richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 656, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Please stand as the cross enters into the church. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we live in the world, and the world can be a very confusing and depressing place. Heavenly Father, we have so many voices clamoring for our attention, clamoring for our heart. Heavenly Father, teach us today that your word is more powerful than the words and wisdom of this world, and your word is life, life everlasting, through the forgiveness won by Jesus for us and for our salvation. It's in his name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 656.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings in the death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we turn to the introit and sing it together.
I will speak of your.
I will bless the Lord at all.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on your insert.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever.
The epistle is from Romans. Chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel and Alleluia and verse.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, as they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 645, Built on the Rock, number 645.
Thank you.
grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, those almost strange words from our gospel reading, Matthew 11, 12 to 19, especially these words. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus asks a question of his disciples, and that question is for us today as well. To what shall I compare this generation? Some translations would say this present generation. You ever wonder what people will say or write about us 25, 50, maybe 100 years from now, when they look back on this present generation? Might be interesting. Think about it. What will history say about us right here and right now? This week, I took just a little bit of an exercise to give some headlines. You want to know what this present generation is about? Well, male runner wins NCAA conference female athlete of the week. United States congressman admits to polyamorous relationships and wife swapping. If you don't know what polyamorous is, look it up. High school girl lectures the world on climate change. $1 trillion trade deficit in the United States. 2,411 aborted babies kept as a trophy by an abortion doctor. No charges are expected to be filed. A Columbia, Missouri church was banned from a local arts festival after the pastor preached a sermon on traditional biblical sexuality. This present generation. These are the headlines, folks. I didn't make it up. Got sources for everyone. What will people say about us in the future? Will they say, "Oh, they were on the right side of history"? Or will they say, "How could they be so foolish?" My friends, today, God's Word is teaching us a vital lesson. It seems kind of crazy and kind of strange how Jesus teaches this. But he says at the very beginning, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Friends, there is a war going on. And I'm not talking about a war in the Middle East or a war between political factions here. There is a war going on against the Christian Church. There is a war going on where the world and the culture of this world is attacking Christianity. And it's nothing new. It's been going on since the very beginning. What's the problem? Christians get lulled into a false sense of security. Especially when we begin to think that the world is our friend. You don't have to go very far to hear leaders in the church, even some Lutherans, who will say, take a look around. The world is winning. So the church has to become more like the world. That's the only way we can bring people in. But my friends, when we compromise with the world, we are crawling in bed with Satan himself. The devil is not directly attacking the church. He's too smart for that. Satan is producing a counterfeit Christianity that looks so much like the real one. Good Christians, like you and me, are afraid to speak up. We're afraid to confess the truth. And if there is ever a day when we should be reminded about boldly confessing the truth, it is the day that we as Lutheran Christians gather to remember the posting of the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, 1517, confessing the truth. We cannot, we dare not become friends with the world. Because when we let the door open and the warring culture comes in, soon the church ceases to be church. This day is kind of a crazy day in the church here. Sometimes it's nothing more than a history lesson. Sometimes we give the impression that we worship Martin Luther rather than Jesus. Luther was not about creating a new church, but restoring the gospel to the church so that genuine repentance and truth might be proclaimed to the world. This is what ties the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus together that Jesus talks about in our text. What was the message of John the Baptist? Repent, believe the good news, the kingdom of God is at hand. What was the message of Jesus? Repent, believe the good news, the kingdom of God is at hand. When we fail to see that the world hates the message of repentance, believing the good news, and the kingdom of God being at hand, when we fail to see that, we open ourselves up. We open ourselves up for souls heading to hell. The reality is that as Christians, we are at war with militant secularists. You don't believe me? Think back to some of the headlines. Some of the headlines that you've heard over the last days, weeks, months. Militant secularists have zero intention of coexisting with Christianity. They want to destroy it. They want to overthrow it. That's why there are lawsuits against bakeries who want to bake a wedding cake. That's why nuns are being sued and forced to pay for contraception. That's why public libraries are being forced to host story time by drag queens. It is a war. And we are afraid to speak up. Shame on us. Shame on us. Why are we afraid? It costs too much. I'm not talking about money per se. The cost is too high. We have counted the cost, and we have decided we're going to keep quiet. Luther describes it this way in his commentary on the Magnificat. It is because of our unbelief that we see God's word, the truth, and the right defeated and wrong triumph. And yet we remain silent. Do not rebuke, speak out, or prevent it, but let things go as they will. Why? We're afraid. We're afraid that we too might get attacked. We're afraid that we might be made poor and might then perish of hunger and be forever laid low. That is to esteem temporal goods more than God, and to put them in God's place as an idol. If we do this, we do not deserve to hear or understand this comfortable promise. This comfortable promise of God that He exalts the lowly, puts down the mighty, fills the poor, empties the rich. We do not deserve ever to come to the knowledge of His works, without which there is no salvation. My friends, we're afraid to speak out. And so what do? We compromise. We think we can be friends with the world. We do it because we're enamored with dollars and seats. As long as the numbers are up, the message doesn't matter. Yesterday, an Episcopal priest said that his church has too much emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and that's why young people are staying away. My friends, there's nothing new under the sun. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. Jesus teaches us with this illustration about dancing in the marketplace that the world is never satisfied. The world says dance, and then it doesn't like the way you dance. John the Baptist was criticized because he dressed strange. He went out into the country. He had a weird diet. He was austere, almost like a hermit. Oh, he's too weird and strange. Jesus was just the opposite. He hung around with the sinners and the tax collectors. Oh, look at that, a scandalous lifestyle. It doesn't matter what the church does with regard to compromising with the world will never be happy. So what do? We confess the truth. We confess the truth in season or out of season. We confess the truth whether there's a Democrat or a Republican in elected office. We confess the truth no matter what. My friends, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians 1. But at the end of our text, Jesus says, wisdom is justified by her deeds. Wisdom is justified by her deeds. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom personified, wisdom taking on flesh and blood, is Jesus Christ. We sing that in verse 2 of O Come, Emmanuel. O come, O wisdom from on high. Jesus, wisdom in the flesh, came to this world to justify you, me, and all people for all time. The world will always scoff at this wisdom, but wisdom is justified by her deeds. What did wisdom do? Wisdom took on flesh and blood. Wisdom fulfilled the law on behalf of the whole world. Wisdom went to the cross, bearing your sin and mine. Wisdom bled and died. Wisdom was put into a stone-cold tomb. Wisdom burst forth from the tomb, never to die again. Wisdom, forgiveness, life, and salvation, God's wisdom for you, was poured out to you in the waters of holy baptism. The forgiveness of sins feeds you, nourishes you, strengthens you, and pumps in your vein as you eat and drink the crucified and resurrected body of Jesus Christ. The world will always laugh at this. But wisdom is justified by her deeds. As Christians, we need to be on guard, because the lies of the liar, Satan, are very subtle. Charles Porterfield Crowth, 150 years ago, taught us, great Lutheran leader in the church, taught us the three stages of error. The world will come and say, just tolerate us. Just tolerate us. Everything will be fine. We pose no threat to you. After a while, the world will say, all we want is equality. After a while, the world will say, we are supreme. Your message must go down and ours must increase. In the history of the world, these three stages of error are ever present. And I would add a fourth. This present generation, if you don't celebrate my error, you are evil. My friends, the devil, the world, and even our own sinful flesh will never stop. We'll never stop attacking the truth. We'll never stop trying to put down and minimize the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as we heard in our first reading, the gospel is eternal. There is nothing that can overcome Christ and his word for you. Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us confess that too many times we have kept silent when we could have confessed the truth. Too many times when we have freely and willingly compromised God's word for the sake of popularity or existence. And let us cling together to the forgiveness, life, and salvation won by the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ for you and for me. This is our life. This is our hope. This is our confession. This is the truth, the eternal truth that is ours for all time. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all wisdom and understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our confession of the truth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess. We sing the offertory, page 192. Please stand as you're able.
Oh.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. True wisdom for us, for this generation, and for all eternity. At this time, we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of an eternal wisdom, Jesus Christ, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Let us pray to our dear Father in heaven as his dear children, asking him to hear us for the sake of Christ and to grant us all things needful and all things beneficial for our salvation. Gracious God, you have renewed your church in every age and generation with the voices of those who recall your people to the gospel, and who speak your word in times both easy and difficult. Receive our thanks for the blessed Martin Luther, and for those who with him contended for the gospel against many great enemies. Make us so bold that we may, in our own age and for our own time and generation, contend for the faith against those who would silence our voices or distract your people from the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, you continue to bless your church with faithful pastors and church workers who are determined to know only Christ Jesus. Bless those who serve your people with the means of grace, that they may be preserved in temptation and sustained in trial. Open the hearts of many to hear your call to full-time service in the various places where you will and work gifts and abilities to proclaim your word. Give to the people in their care wisdom to hear the voice of your word and to mark false gospels and false preachers. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your word is truth. Keep us from abandoning pure doctrine and preserve us from pride, lest we fail to use your truth to call a new generation to know and love you. Be with all the baptized that we may live out fully the new life that you have granted us by water and the word, and guide us to serve our neighbors in love, especially those in need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Mighty God, you have great power, and yet you act with mercy. Teach those who lead us in this land to use power rightly and to act merciful in the preservation of order, the accomplishment of justice, the protection of life, and the defense of the weak. Give us wise, godly, and faithful leaders who will follow your commands and serve with integrity. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you have continually been the defender of the weak, the advocate for the poor, and the help of the sick and those in need. Deliver the sick in accordance with your will. Relieve their suffering and grant them patience and peace, especially those in our own midst, including Barb, Deb, Michael, Ron, Gloria, Lisa, Phyllis, Juliana, Judy, Jerry, Karen, Austin, Gerald, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Give to the aged your comfort and peace. Give to the grieving hope and the consolation of the gospel and the resurrection of the dead. Be especially with the families who mourn, including the family of Monica Frisch and also the family of Sherry Burton. Grant them peace in Jesus. Give to the dying your presence and bring them into the place of everlasting light and life until the day we shall be joined with them in heaven. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Mighty Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us to know it well and keep us from departing from Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray you on behalf of those who have fallen away from the truth, those whose zeal for your household has grown cold, those who are tempted by doubt and fear, those who have avoided your presence in our congregation for the last while. Bring them again into your presence. Restore their faith and their place within the fellowship of your church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, you have granted us your word as your promise and washed us in baptism to be your own people and to live under you in your kingdom now and forever. Build us up in Christ, that we may hold the faith in the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, and give evidence of this faith and holiness of life. Reprove us when we are in error. Reform what is lacking within us, that we may continue to grow up into Christ our head. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you know the needs of your church, your people, and your world. Help us not to squander your gifts, but to apply them and our hearts diligently to wisdom of your word and the work of your kingdom. Bless the foreign mission fields of our church and give to newly formed churches and congregations great sufficiency to grow and prosper according to your gracious will. Receive our tithes and offerings as part of our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that you may be glorified and the work of your kingdom prospered. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have granted us the privilege of place at Christ's table. Give us also your spirit and faith that we may approach his table with repentance, receive his body and blood with faith, and depart to bear his fruit in lives of holiness and service to you and to our neighbors. Bless your church with unity of doctrine and life, that through the forgiveness of sins we may know the gift of clear conscience before you and live at peace with one another. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray, whom the Father and the Holy Spirit are with as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 655, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
And welcome in the name of Jesus Kids, go get some goodies, and we'll be back in here in about 5 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. You're all invited to coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Gary tells me that he brought a birthday cake today. What's that? Who? Never heard of it. Brent Stellick. When is your birthday? It was the 24th. All right, so come and eat some birthday cake. Chocolate mousse, I was told. So don't get excited. It has nothing to do with a real live mousse. So please join us, coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study this morning. We'll continue our look at the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 5, a great Reformation chapter in the scripture. That's in the fellowship hall. Room 109, summary of Christian doctrine. Pastor, what are we learning there today?
We're going to finish up talking about who God is and what his attributes are and what that means for us.
Okay, very good. That's in room 109. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating All Saints Day and the commemoration of the faithful departed. On Wednesday night this week, we'll get another shot at Reformation. Next Sunday after church is the meal for the college students. Did you get enough people to sign up for all the goodies? Thank you. Thanks for helping. So college students, help pass the word. Lunch after church provided by folks here at Good Shepherd. Several other things to check out. A week from next Sunday, on the 10th, we have our budgeting workshop class. Any questions on that? Talk to Dale. Do you want to say anything about that, Dale? Okay, so food and child care provided? All right, very good. And as you heard in the prayers and as you possibly have heard already, it has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Sherry Burton. Sherry, longtime member here at the congregation, generally attended the 10:30 service. Just a very sweet, faithful, unassuming lady who loved to hear the good news of Jesus. Her funeral service will be Friday morning, 10 a.m. at Roper's. Friday morning, 10 a.m. at Roper's. And we keep the family in our thoughts and prayers. Anything else, Pastor? Join us for, I'm sorry, Bob. Okay. Change your clocks this week. All right. All right. Very good. Echo chamber here. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.